as Attorney General who's going to look out for all of us and not just for some of us.
Civil rights icon and Congressmember John Lewis testifying Wednesday against the confirmation of Senator Jeff Sessions as Attorney General of the United States. That does it for our show. This weekend, I'll be in Vermont. On Saturday, I'll be having a public conversation with 350.org founder Bill McKibben at the Chandler Center for Arts in Randall, Vermont at 7:30. Monday morning at 10 a.m., Martin Luther King Day, I'll be at University of Michigan Ann Arbor with actor Issa Rae to give the memorial keynote lecture at Hill Auditorium. Next Thursday, January 19th, I'll join performers Solange Esperanza Spalding, activist Angela Davis, writer Alice Walker, actor and activist Danny Glover, and many others for the 2017 Peace Ball. It takes place at 8 p.m. at the National Museum of African American History. History and culture. Check out democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. We call it new because it's not the same as last week. My name is Jay Koronick, and we're here at Henry Ford College broadcasting live the first week of the new winter semester. Boy, things are exciting here on campus. John Conroy, our WHFR News and Sports Director, is with me today. Welcome, John.
Well, thank you very much, Jay.
Okay, and you did some real investigative reporting this week, actually attended a big political event Tuesday, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. Let's just take a look at the Press and Guide and Dearborn Times Herald newspapers from this last week. Just hit a few things that drew our attention. Times Herald is still reflecting back on 2016, it takes them about three issues, so that fills up a lot of space. But most people don't want to remember 2016, so we'll just go right past that, I guess. Well, maybe there's not as much as we want here. Interesting article from Lee Hamilton. Again, we've used him before, and it doesn't indicate whether he was a Democrat or Republican. He was in the U.S. House of Representatives for 34 years, and he has some ideas for Donald Trump about how to govern effectively. I guess he needs them if people are making those suggestions, but you might want to read that and see what you think. Mr. Hamilton, Lee Hamilton, is very balanced in his opinions. So, you know, it's not that he's one way or the other, but has some good thoughts there in general for anybody who has to make big-time decisions. Debbie Dingell has a story about her in the Times Herald, calling on the next president, President Trump, to live up to promise to renegotiate NAFTA. There was an editorial I mentioned last week that I think I shared that indicated that most trade deals, international trade deals, have been very beneficial to the United States, except one, NAFTA, the one with Mexico specifically, that we've really lost out there. So does it need to be renegotiated? Absolutely. Donald Trump was right about that, and we'll see how long. And even Debbie Dingell, the Democrat, says we got to do something about renegotiating that. So I think there's general agreement that we have to make some changes there. Whether or not it stops job loss to Mexico is another question. But maybe it'll balance things a little more.
And I can tell you this, that not too many of my fellow GM employees, for that matter, or any other American employees were invited to go work in Mexico.
Right. Yeah. Can you speak Spanish?
I can a little bit.
Habla español? Okay.
Habla español, por favor.
Well, there you go. You're all set, John. Yeah. That'll get you in the front door.
For about 30 seconds, maybe.
Yeah, but maybe lunch and dinner might be different.
Yeah. I might turn back then, Jay.
Let's go to the all-you-can-eat buffet and pay your money, and you don't have to order. You just start grabbing.
As long as it's run by 5101, we'll be okay.
Right. Okay. Well, wasn't that quick? That's the Times Herald for this week. Boy, I know there's stories in there. And you should subscribe. If you live in Dearborn, we've got to support the papers as much as possible. And you do have to pay money to get the Times Herald or the Press and Guide. But as long as they're out there, we need to support them. Of course, you can read some of it online. Like Press and Guide is available at pressandguide.com. And that doesn't cost anything, even though it hurts their future, certainly. A lot of things happening on Martin Luther King Day. And it does say that article here on the front page, in Dearborn Heights anyway, faiths, religions, churches, will unite to honor Martin Luther King Jr. And, of course, it's being celebrated with most schools being closed on Monday. It's interesting, there's a Catholic school in Allen Park. My granddaughter goes to it, Cabrini.
Yeah.
It's open.
And we're open. Gross Hill's open.
Is that because Martin Luther King Jr. wasn't a Catholic? I don't understand that. I mean, I'm all for education. Right. I think the more education, the better. You know, all the public schools, I mean, I just don't quite understand the reasoning of the Catholic Church on that. But then again, I won't get into a lot of the non-science-based, non-logical arguments of most religions pass me over. Of course, that's an opinion. And of course, yes, all opinions on this show, I'll do it, okay, are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College, faculty, staff, students, or administrators. But we thank them for allowing us to be somewhat balanced. I'm just sharing my own personal bias about the logic there. But there are events, and this is a big one. Rana Elmir, who is the deputy director of the ACLU, that's the American Civil Liberties
Union.
Yep. There we go. Yes, I almost never say the actual words. Of Michigan will speak at the event is called Being the Beloved Community in 2017, and that will be on Monday in Dearborn Heights. And that will be at 3 p.m. And we actually have, here it is. It's a big deal because actually there's participation by G. Kevin Dewey and a chorus from Henry Ford College. Both a chorus and a joint choir. So there's a difference there between a joint choir and a chorus, John?
Yes. The chorus is the entire body, and a smaller choir is out of that entire chorus body.
And it's a joint choir because they come from the bigger group.
Right, because the joint choir is made of some of the folks that are not necessarily students of of the college.
Right. And I did say Monday. This is not happening Monday. It's Sunday. And Sunday is significant because that's actually the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr.,
birthday.
The 15th. Right. Mm-hmm. But, of course, it is being celebrated on the 16th, and most schools are closed, including Henry Ford College, on the 16th. But on this Sunday at 3 p.m., again, they're going to have a keynote speaker, Rana Elmir, who was deputy director of the ACLU of Michigan. And then there's going to be inspiring music, as they say here in the press release, from Henry Ford College Chorus and Joint Choir, all directed by G. Kevin Dewey. Refreshments and fellowship. And it's presented by the Dearborn Area Interfaith Network. Where is it going to be? World Deliverance Temple. And I know I've seen that. I think I was there once. Anyway, it's at 27355 Ann Arbor Trail, Dearborn Heights. World Deliverance Temple. So just ask your smartphone where that is. And Sunday. So there's no admission charge. And it's not a religious service per se, you know. It's it talks about Martin Luther King Jr.'s vision and his great success with instituting very needed social change in this country. And I wanted to mention in regard to that. And again, the full story is on the front page of this last Wednesday, January 11th, Dearborn Press and Guide. But I also want to mention that Monday we're going to have special programming from noon to 2 o'clock here on WHFR. A Democracy Now! Special tribute to Martin Luther King Jr. that we get as partners with Democracy Now! Well, we only normally feature on Friday, but we're featuring on Monday from noon to 1 o'clock. And then the second hour will be something that was near and dear to Martin Luther King and essential to his approach to social change, and that was nonviolent civil disobedience. If you need to change something, sometimes you have to get the attention of other people, and sometimes you're breaking some usually just minor laws, like trespassing or something like that. And sometimes it's necessary, but you have to do it in a nonviolent way. That's very, very important, and he stressed that. Has it ever worked anywhere else? He wasn't the first person, of course. Mahatma Gandhi in India preached it for 40 years as his approach, and he called it Satyagraha, which means truth force, the force of truth, not necessarily physical violence, to get major social change in society. And they said, well, what happened in India? They got the British out. Mm-hmm. In a huge country, you know, on the Asian continent, India is a huge country. Today, it's got 7 billion people already. Then it must have had at least 300 or 400 million. It was, they probably had more people in India back in the late 1940s when they finally got the British out than we have in America today. And a large, large group of Indians were using Gandhi's approach, that is nonviolent social resistance and civil disobedience, in order to convince the British that they should leave and let India govern itself and decide its own future. And that's what happened. Imagine the British Empire with all those guns and technology and so on, and they succeeded. They won the battle. Okay, it took 10 years of really serious disobedience from the 30s through the early 40s for that to for the idea finally to get across. But Martin Luther King, that was his main idea. And the only problem that I have personally with that philosophy is it's not being taught much. Now, there is a group in Michigan. We've talked on the show about some peace activist groups in Michigan. Peace Action of Michigan, literally. Mm-hmm. Pax Christi, which is a Catholic organization. And also, well, they changed their name to the Meta Peace Team. But they're still a great, and they're not directly involved with any religion, but they actually teach seminars and workshops. They're based in Lansing. Sometimes they have meetings down in the Detroit area, but they train people to go out, and in fact they're even so famous that they get invitations from people that are having disputes around the world to come and help teach their own people how to do it nonviolently to get their way. And they have sent some teams from Meta Peace Team Michigan to the Middle East in the Gaza Strip area, where there's settlements by Israelis and the Palestinians are being sequestered, I think, in a completely unfair, unrealistic way. There's a good, by the way, editorial about that situation in the Arab American News this week about whether or not a one-state or a two-state solution can be done, and that is very thoughtful, and sort of goes on top of John Kerry's statements about a week ago about the situation over there and what should be done. Of course, again, I think we mentioned that Kerry has been criticized. Well, if you really believe that, how come he wasn't saying that for the last like 6 years that he's been Secretary of State, or right. 8 years? Anyway,
and for many more years before that, when he was a senator.
That's
senator,
right. You know. Yeah, he didn't come to those awarenesses that that are worthy of exploration, not just rejection. Oh, I just saw that Governor Snyder is back in town from his little trip, and he just signed a bill that our legislature in Michigan just passed, is that Michigan will not do business with any other business that is boycotting Israel. Because Israel is one of our cherished partners in this world. To Michigan.
Michigan.
I didn't know that. Now, I know the governor has taken a few trips to Israel, but do we sell Israeli products in Lansing? Or, I mean, I just, I don't know what that relationship is exactly, and I do think it's a little harsh. But no, the state of Michigan now will not do business with any business that is boycotting Israel. Okay. All right. Thank you for another law that doesn't make any sense to me. That's my opinion, of course. So don't miss this event. If you have the time on Sunday, get the whole family out there. Instead of a homily or a sermon, you can listen to an important lecture by a person who is one of the directors at the top of the ACLU Michigan that supports all kinds of people and their civil rights in Michigan specifically. And then you'll have some great music and inspiring lyrics to listen to from the Henry Ford College Chorus and Joint Choir with Kevin Dewey. Okay, World Deliverance Temple, Sunday, 3 o'clock. Looking also at the press and guide, Gary Warrenchuk has been reelected to lead Wayne County Commission, and that's great news, I guess, for him. He would always stay a commissioner because he's been elected from Dearborn and Allen Park when the elections come up. But again, he has been elected by his colleagues to chair their meetings. And there's, 15 commissioners were up in November, and there wasn't a single change. Nope. All the same 15 were reelected. Yep. And by the way, they were all Democrats because it's all Wayne County.
That's all Wayne County.
Which is heavily Democrat. It's not too surprising there. Okay. Debbie Dingell, since she's new in Congress and doesn't have the seniority of John Dingell because she just started, so she loses all that seniority, so she can't be by seniority chair of anything, but she has been appointed to the very important Energy and Commerce Committee in the U.S. House of Representatives, and they have broad jurisdiction over issues including commerce and trade, energy policy, environmental quality, telecommunications, consumer protections, automotive safety, and health care. So, boy, oh, boy. Yeah, there's a lot of issues there. Now, whether or not, they can get many bills out because the committee will be, of course, have a majority of Republicans on it, but... there you go. So congratulations to her. I think John Dingell was on that committee. He was chair of that committee, I think, previously. So it's kind of appropriate there to do that. Now, because the city of Dearborn is also going to be closed on this Monday, Martin Luther King Day, the city is now urging all residents who physically pay their January tax bills to do it early. Those summer tax bills are due tomorrow, January 14th. Huh. But it's a Saturday of a 3-day holiday in Dearborn. So maybe you can get over there today, I guess. I know the story comes late here, but maybe you can get over there today because otherwise there'll be a penalty if they come starting Tuesday. So now there is, so residents have, because the payment deadline falls on a weekend, payments will still be considered on time if they're made by the close of the next business day. Ah, so you do have Tuesday the 17th, but they expect really long lines.
Right.
but there's also, you have 4:30 p.m. to pay via Dropbox. They have a Dropbox there where you can put the bill and the check in an envelope, I guess, or in person. But if you're mailing a payment, it has to be received by next Tuesday, the 17th. So be aware of that. You can't slide in tomorrow. I'm not sure they're open on Saturdays anyway. Maybe they are. City Clerk's office.
I'm not sure. But we have similar circumstances downriver. Same way, the city will be closed or the township will be closed, but our schools will be open. Hmm. And the tax debts are due as well this week and early next week.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yep.
Well, now we go to the newer news, and that's always exciting. Let's go to the event that John was at this Tuesday. It was a meeting that was convened by the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce, and they were one of the hosts to the show. It's an annual event that the chamber does called The Tale of Our Cities. It's a business builder series luncheon at the Dearborn Hills Golf Course to give the public an update on current and future projects and proposals. Now, since there was a cost, I think it was $35 person. Not a lot of people, average people, would attend that, even with the meal. But John, you said the food was pretty good. If you did it to pay the media gets in free, folks. So it's another reason to become part of the volunteer staff at WHFR. Maybe we get some free food.
TCM 189. Come join our class.
Yeah, get free food once a year.
There you go.
The Chamber of Commerce. But here's the story. There was actually
And there was we talked about there was a salad bar before the main event of the food, which was very highly healthy, mm-hmm. I should say. And a bar was there too, a cash bar.
Cash bar, okay.
And
that's not for reporters.
No, I didn't, and I didn't drink anything alcoholic.
Got to stay sane if you're going to be reporting. Yeah.
Right.
We don't want any slightly garbled news, much less fake news, coming out. Elizabeth Barbieri, and I haven't seen her name before as a writer for the Pressing Guide, but she did the story, and it's on their website now, probably in the paper this Sunday, if you get the Pressing Guide Sunday edition, or you want to pick it up somewhere. And very complete, and it's much longer than the regular story because she got a lot of quotes in there, and apparently it was a slow news week, and they didn't have to chop anything off. So here's the story. Despite, and I'll let John give his spin on some of the things that Elizabeth picked up on and some of the things that maybe she didn't in just a moment. But here's what she said. Despite snow, wind, and rain that hampered travel Tuesday, a near-capacity crowd of local government officials, event sponsors, and Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce members were on hand to hear from Mayor John B. O'Reilly and Dearborn Heights Mayor Daniel Poletko on business progress in their respective cities. Chamber President Jackie Lovejoy began the event by introducing the corporate sponsor Comcast, lunch sponsor Beaumont Health. Oh, it had to be healthy if it was
Beaumont.
The lunch was sponsored by Beaumont. Yep. They just put the money out there. But they told the caterers to make sure it's not, you know. Did you have a big sugary dessert of some kind, though?
There was cake.
They had to have something sugary. Something, okay. As long as that wasn't the whole meal, right?
No. The meal was very healthy, as a matter of fact. No.
Okay. And community sponsors Ford Landon and our friend Regan Ford were co-sponsors because he's president of Vivid Maintenance, too. So he got in there that way. Dearborn Mayor John B. O'Reilly gave his introductory remarks first, marveling at how Ford continues to be the major driver of economy in Dearborn. Of course, he talked about their big investment in improving their own corporate headquarters and also the purchase of the 2-block chunk of property between Mason and Oakwood in West Dearborn for future office and retail space. And it's the first time that Ford has had to acquire its own property since Henry Ford founded the automotive company in the early 1900s. In other words, they previously had all the property. They just kept building on what they had. I guess they're out of space now. That's what they're trying to say is the reason why, when they increased their so-called campus at the main headquarters, there's not going to be any space for any more buildings there. So they have to go somewhere else. Of course, we mentioned on the show, too, that they now have a whole wing that was vacated by some major department store. I think it was Lord & Taylor's a few years back, and it was vacant. And so they've actually taken over that wing and have turned it into an R&D, research and development area, I think.
Mungie Ward, Montgomery Ward, I believe.
No, they were never at Fairlane.
No,
it wasn't them. Montgomery Ward had a store at Greenfield in Michigan. No, it's not Greenfield. It's Schaefer in Michigan. They had a big department store there, and of course that's been turned into a medical complex now for Oakwood or Beaumont or somebody. Mm-hmm. O'Reilly is quoted as saying, Ford is going to reinvest in everything they have in Dearborn over a 10-year period. And that should raise the property value and raise some taxes that the city gets, hopefully, but unless the city council decides to give them a big tax break. Which is likely, I'm sorry to say, but it is likely. And I think I did ask Mayor O'Reilly that last year in our annual his annual visit to the show, and he wasn't too specific about that. He didn't clearly say no, there would be a tax break, but it looks like it's certainly going to happen. All these developments, Ford-sponsored development, is going to happen.
Well, he talked about a corridor development authority, Jay. That was both he and Mayor Politko were involved with that, getting a chance to see that happen and be involved with the meetings that were going to be mm-hmm. part of that
group. Well, in term, if you're talking about the downtown development authorities, which is
right.
something where they get money from the state and or the federal government, if they're set up in a certain way and make certain reports, I know that the one in Dearborn is they're trying to consolidate that to east and west. And I do remember hearing that Dearborn Heights had its own.
Mm-hmm.
So and those can do a lot to help encourage businesses to move in and to fix it up and clean it up and
you know,
plant trees or Christmas decorations, all that.
And application of grants is mm-hmm. promoted there as well.
Sure, of course. Yep. It says, in Dearborn Heights, the projects include refreshing Van Born Street in Dearborn Heights, where Masco Corporation is packing up to leave for Livonia. Well, at least they didn't go to Mexico. Masco has agreed to help both Taylor and Dearborn Heights work on fixing and filling the space where it leaves. When it leaves.
Yes. Yep.
We're looking at not just the revitalization of Van Born Road, but also we're looking at new idea images for the entire street, according to Mayor Politko. And so they're combining their ordnance and animal control departments into one in order to become more efficient.
That reinvestment they were talking also about Ford between Inkster and Beach Daily. That stretch mm-hmm. is where that heavy part of reinvestment is going to go.
Yeah, and Politko mentioned, I see about, in regard to that area, also they're going to do ordnance sweeps of messy properties, especially the invigoration, as you mentioned, of Ford Road between Inkster and Beach Daily. And some revitalization projects along Warren Avenue, too. So, of course, questions always came from the audience at those events, ranged from positions on police dispatch consolidation to the architecture of the Ford Land Project on Michigan Avenue. Not a lot of specifics in terms of the answers there, John. Do you have any thoughts about, what did they say about the police dispatch consolidation efforts?
That they are, they're continuing to grow and be part of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights, not so much in other outlying communities. But there were very few questions allowed. I mean, there weren't that much, there wasn't as much time for questions as may have been because the mayor spoke and they had some questions that were already ready mm-hmm. to go before they allowed any other singular questions from the audience. But I remember also them talking about clean sweeps. Operation Clean Sweeps was a big catch-all phrase.
Right. Yeah.
Well, lawns and neighborhoods, garages, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe that the vibrancy of each community will be enhanced by getting those programs to happen. They also mentioned, Jay, that Dearborn Heights was 95% developed, whereas Dearborn still got a ways to go. He didn't say what percentage of his city was developed, but Politko mentioned 95%, and that population growth is evident in both cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Let's just take a little side comment here. We just very briefly, an organization, I think we quoted them last year, called Wallet Hub. It's a consumer credit research website. It has already get a plug for themselves, I guess, but they did this study about the best cities for families, the best cities to raise families in Michigan. And of the 104 out of 276 cities in Michigan that had enough data to be part of the study, in Wayne County, there was only 3 cities that were rated in the top 104, and Dearborn was 53rd, Southgate was 54th, and Dearborn Heights was 74th, but at least they made, the ranking, and compared to, there's no other cities in Wayne County. How many other cities are there in Wayne County? Detroit, they didn't make it into the top 104, of course. But you say, well, what was the best city? Okay, it's Rochester, Michigan. And the categories involve family, life, and fun. I'd love to see how you tabulate fun and compare it. But education, health, safety, another category. Affordability, cost of renting, cost of homes, I guess. And then socioeconomics. How many poor people, or rich and poor? Are they looking for the diversity there? Or why, you know, I guess if you're, everybody's poor, that wouldn't be a good place to raise a family, because you'll have poorer schools. And I mean, I'm just saying. So I'm not sure what they mean by their socioeconomics. They probably don't want to say. But at least Dearborn and Dearborn Heights were in the running and not last. And the only ones from Wayne County to be in that study. Okay, back to the story. Elizabeth, who was the reporter for Press and Guide, spent, I'd say, at least half of her extended story reporting responses of O'Reilly and Politico to the new political administrations, both, well, in Lansing is going to continue to be very Republican, but also the new president. O'Reilly said, here's a quote, in fact, it says, O'Reilly took a less severe approach than Politico in talking about President Trump. He said, remind the audience that Congress doesn't have term limits and that both parties understand the challenges ahead. Quote from O'Reilly, he's elected, he's my president, okay? But during the campaign, I observed him making some erroneous statements. But the good news is that the legislature isn't going to just roll over. That's where it's going to be a learning curve, because I really don't think Mr. Trump really understands how Congress works at all and how the relationship between the president and Congress works. Unquote. That's our Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. I observed him making some erroneous statements. I mean, the fact-checking organizations listening to Trump's speeches say that of the things that could be called facts, it was over 70% were false that he stated. And he's got the audacity to criticize news organizations for doing so-called fake news when he was using 70% fake information in his campaign speeches.
To fan the flames.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's what people wanted to hear, apparently, but of course it wasn't true what he was saying. But and if those same people in his audience weren't checking the facts themselves or going to the multiple sources, not the major media perhaps, to find out if it was false or not, they were being misled, horribly misled. Never has a presidential candidate spoken so many falsehoods in order to get elected before they were elected. But we'll see. And I agree that because, of course, Donald Trump has never been in an elected position before. He's never worked within a political context before in terms of legislature or chief operator, operating officer of any governmental unit. He's going to have a learning curve, definitely. I tried to put that in the mayor's terms, who was, I think, gracious and not overstating the problem. Okay, John, anything else that you got from
Jay,
meeting?
I found my notes about what they said about the combined dispatch center. One of the advantages is that they think there'll be better quality with a sufficient staff to handle both cities. They also said that crime knows no boundaries, and that will be further corralled or controlled by having a combined dispatch center.
Okay.
They also think about other combination of services, not just dispatch and police type work, but other perhaps library services, fire services as well, a number of different programs that could be mentioned. They also believe that more grants will be allowed or applied for since both teams are working or both cities are working together. And they also talk, and I don't know what I speak of too much, but they talked about the 800 megawatt service or server that that they want to use for both cities as well. Maybe you could speak to more of that.
Well, it's apparently a standard frequency that's used by most area dispatch people, you know, for fire and police, and they want to sort of all agree to use that same broadcast frequency so that they can communicate better.
Yeah. Very good. Right. Okay. Yep.
Okay. We're going to take a break. You're listening to the new WHFR Journal for Friday. Here it comes. January 13th. Okay, Friday the 13th. Yeah, I know. I shouldn't have mentioned it. I was thinking because somebody's going to freak out now while they're driving and hit a telephone pole. Don't do that. Friday the 13th has always been lucky for me in all my years, and not that I was counting on it. So it's just another day, folks. It didn't work out very well for the Templars, but, they were assassinated en masse in France, at least, on a Friday the 13th back in 14th century. Anyway, long time ago. But some people say, oh, Friday the 13th, wasn't that the St. Valentine's Day Massacre? No, that's February 14th.
It was the 14th, actually,
yeah,
but, yes.
Yeah, that was in the 30s in Chicago or
long
something.
Time ago. Yeah,
anyway, don't worry about it. So here's a couple comments from Jack Lessenberry, which don't have to do with the fact it's the 13th. And don't worry about it. It'll be over soon. Anyway, Jack Lessenberry from Michigan Public Radio.
I'm Jack Lessenberry. 10 days from now, we'll have a new president. And in time, he'll name a new justice to the Supreme Court, and eventually a nominee is likely to be confirmed. I teach college students, mostly juniors and graduate students, journalism, history, and law. And sometime after the new justice takes office, one student will ask me when they'll have to run for re-election. Justices don't, of course. They're on for life. But I've become used to the fact that the vast majority of Americans are grossly ignorant of how their government is supposed to work. For many years, high school students in the state have been required to take and pass a one-semester civics course. I attended a working-class high school in the 1960s and recall having to learn the difference between the state and federal court systems and the strong mayor and city manager forms of government. But so far as I can tell, whatever kids learn in civics these days passes through many of them rather like a stone through a goose. You might think, if you live in a well-educated household, these are just anecdotes from someone who, after all, teaches in Detroit. But there's plenty of evidence that we face an alarming tide of national ignorance. A survey of American adults by the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania in 2014 found that more than one-third were unable to name any of the three branches of government. Many thought a close Supreme Court decision was sent back to Congress for reconsideration, and most didn't know which party controlled either the House or the Senate. When I read this, I had the same thought I had on election night, that of Benjamin Franklin emerging from the Constitutional Convention in 1787 and being asked by a woman what form of government our leaders had given us. A republic, if you can keep it, he said. To his great credit, State Representative Pete Lucido, a Republican from Macomb County, has done something about this. The one group of adults I found to be the best informed are immigrants who've taken the test to become U.S. citizens. Lucido managed to get a bill passed last session that'll require high school teachers to cover the same material that immigrants must know to pass the citizenship test they have to take. Students are going to need to know the same material covered in the 100 questions on the citizenship exam. Actually, would-be citizens are only asked a random 10 questions, but they must answer orally and get at least 6 right. Lucido's bill was signed into law with little fanfare last week by Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly, and the media barely noticed. Actually, I think we should have made a big deal out of this. There's a quote from President John Adams inscribed over a fireplace in the state dining room of the White House, which says, in part, "May none but the wise men ever rule under this roof." There was a lot of concern during the last presidential campaign as to whether one of the candidates knew enough about how our government functions. Maybe if our citizens knew more, we'd have a little less to fear.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's news analyst.
I'm Jack Lessenberry. One of my favorite New Yorker cartoons showed a judge looking down at a defendant and asking, "So, just how much justice can you afford?" Judges never say things like that, or at least I hope not. But the system sort of does, whether we admit it or not. If you doubt that, consider this. Let's say some state agency went after Dick and Betsy DeVos and accused them of defrauding the taxpayers out of money. They were not only ordered to pay it back, they were then assessed a fine 4 times the size of what they got, plus interest. If they didn't pay all that immediately, their assets would be seized and their paychecks garnished. Let's say all that happened and then the state said, "Hey, you know what? That was just a dumb computer error. I guess we'll give you your money back." Let's say that same agency did the same to another 21,000 rich people. How long do you think that would have been tolerated? What do you think would have happened to the head of that agency? Do you suppose she would have kept her job? Well, guess what? That scenario actually did happen. Not to the DeVosses, but to 21,000 other Michiganders over at least a 2-year time period. But there was a difference. By and large, these were poor people who filed for unemployment insurance. The state turned things over to a computer system called MIDAS to determine who was committing fraud and then went after those the computer identified as having done so. Assets were seized and wages garnished. But in 93% of the cases, the computers were wrong. Sure, some lawsuits were filed, but most of the victims were relatively poor and not especially well-connected. Folks like that often feel helpless against the system. Still, it should have been clear something was radically wrong. Luke Schaefer, an associate professor who heads the University of Michigan's Poverty Solutions Initiative, told me, "They've had evidence that this was a major problem for a long time. I don't understand why it took so long." With that, I suddenly got a sharp sense of deja vu. This seemed like Flint all over again. Then, as now, the Snyder administration was reluctant to admit error and more reluctant to take action against those responsible. It took months after the governor finally admitted there was lead in the water before he fired the head of the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. In both cases, the governor seems to have curious deficiencies, a lack of recognition of the magnitude of the problem, and a lack of empathy for those affected. Late last year, when it was becoming clear what the Unemployment Insurance Agency had done, the governor told the Detroit Free Press, "It's not a good thing. The system didn't work well," and the NAID characterized it as a customer service problem. My guess is that those who had their meager assets wrongly confiscated might use another term. Nor has the governor fired anyone over this scandal. Sharon Moffat Massey, who was in charge of the agency, was only reassigned, presumably at full salary. There's something wrong with this picture, something involving cold indifference, incompetence, and justice that some people, sadly, apparently, are too poor to afford.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan.
And that's the commentaries from Jack Lessenberry for this week. Hope you were taking notes on that. Ignorance isn't strength, and Michigan leaders stick it to poor people once again. Yeah. You can read his commentaries written out in the Metro Times each week, too. This week in Metro Times, he has an editorial, not an editorial comment, but a comment, an opinion piece that he, in his regular column, though, that he shares about Michigan prisons and mental health. And the major problems is that the state of Michigan has been closing mental health facilities to save money or whatever. And so now people who are convicted of crimes but are mentally ill, can't go anywhere but be thrown into the regular prison system where it's just a mess. It's just pathetic. He gives a lot of specific examples in that extended written piece in the Metro Times this week. Always try to pick up a free copy of the Metro Times and Arab American News each week if you're in Dearborn or around the area, because they do great reporting, have great opinions, and they have real reporters.
Well, then there's one comment I have about that, Jay, is how so many folks from mental health facilities have been turned out and end up becoming part of the penal system because there's nowhere else for them to go.
I know, yeah.
How many hospitals have they closed? It's just tragic for those folks, I think.
Plus, as he mentioned in this written article that we didn't hear about because he didn't use that as in his spoken commentaries, our present penal system, and again, Michigan, we have more people imprisoned in Michigan per capita than any other state.
Yeah.
And it's really expensive, not just because we have so many there, but why do we have so many there? We have a lot of crooks in Michigan. Not necessarily. We have to look at the whole criminal justice system, which is flawed across the country. And the fact that we have privately operated prisons in Michigan, too, is almost a crime. Remember, there was a little to do about all the rotten food that the state was getting from a private resource under a special state contract that was being fed to our prisoners. Nobody wants to talk about prisoners. Hey, they broke the law. They don't deserve anything, maybe. Maybe that's a thought that some people have. Unfortunately, it's not true. We want to, as a society, take good care of them and make them better, put them on the the road to some kind of success without necessarily harming themselves or any other people. And a lot of those people would like that chance, but when they come out of prison, they not only in prison don't they get too much help in terms of rehabilitation, but when they come out, there's not too much help either. And I think in Michigan, you can't vote either if you're a felon,
no,
convicted felon. No. So you lose your chance to vote out Republicans that put you there. No, I'm sorry. They didn't do it. The government put you there, and the fact that that's majority Republicans right now doesn't necessarily mean anything, does it? No, it could have been anybody. Could happen to anybody.
You remember our disclaimer as well, Jay.
Absolutely. It's just my opinion. Not my opinion at all, but Macy's, it was reported a couple weeks ago, and we just didn't cover it, I don't think, on the air, is going to close 4 Michigan stores and cut 10,000 jobs nationwide. Hmm. It doesn't say if they're going to replace them with robots. But, sorry, John, I know you love that that angle that I bring up. Right. Almost constantly now. But I just wanted to say for people thinking, oh, there's a Macy's at Fairlane Town Center. No, that's going to stay there. Okay, so that one is going to stay there. They're closing. Their 4 stores in Michigan are Harper Woods. Is that the former Eastland, or is it a separate store?
I think you're right. Former Eastland.
Westland, Lansing, and Battle Creek. Right. It all depends on where the stores are located. I think if they're in a big shopping mall that still has some traffic, that might be good.
Our Southland Mall, Macy's, is the signature store.
Oh, really?
The middle of the
great
whole place.
Yep. Yeah, that's not mentioned either. So I'm just saying we shouldn't be worried about that right in this area. But it's not good that they're going to be dropping 7% of their workforce nationwide. And I don't know if it's because of, here it is. The cost savings beginning this year will enable the company to invest an additional $250 million in growing the digital business, store-related growth strategies, Blue Mercury, whatever that is, one word, Macy's Backstage, what could that be, and here comes the big C word, China. Because there's a lot of people that want to buy from Macy's in China, I guess. But digital business means they want to get more like Amazon. They want to get their website improved. And believe me, I've used their website accidentally, and it's a mess. Not helpful at all. But Amazon has so much computing power and great design and so many people working on it that it's... it's amazing. By the way, I just read a story today, I think it was New York Times, that Amazon is increasing its employment of real people and in warehouses all across the United States, not specifically here in Michigan, but something like 100,000 more people are going to be hired for their warehouses, which distribute the things you order online.
So now they're warehousing people, huh, Jay?
Yeah. Right. In the story, though, also Kmart said it'll be closing 10 stores in Michigan, but not here. Sears also announced that it's closing its store in the Woodland Mall in Grand Rapids, but not here in Dearborn. Okay, moving quickly from that.
And Macy's is still definitely a favorite of wedding lists and retainers like that, because a few weddings I've been to, there people are always registered at Macy's.
Well, before Christmas, I went in looking for a men's winter hat. I wanted sort of a cap with flaps, not a baseball cap, but something like a driver's cap, or sometimes they call them newsboy caps. Mm-hmm. It was just the style I wanted, and they had nothing like that. They had one style of hat, which I had to search for, and I guess hats, people don't wear hats? I guess people don't wear hats.
Not as much. No. I give you an unabashed recommendation for that, though.
Well, if you're outside for any period of time and it's extremely cold, I mean, I like to go for walks, even in the cold weather, when it's not too icy or snowy, of course. It's good exercise.
Yeah.
Because I live in an area of Dearborn where I can walk to my credit union. I can walk to the post office. It's no more than a mile in any direction. Kroger's grocery store is like a mile and a half, and it's a little bit longer walk, especially in bad weather. So I need a scarf, and I need a winter cap. And yes, I know there's earmuffs, but they're never very good. So a cap with flaps. I mean, how hard can it be? And they had basically one style, and I didn't want it. Then I went to JCPenney's. They had a different style. And I didn't want that either because it wasn't the, what I was looking for. And other stores had nothing. And this is Fairlane Town Center. So I can understand. And I went to Amazon. They had 28 choices of specifically the style I wanted and, you know, different colors, different textures of fabric, and flaps with fur on them or flaps that were just, you know, made of the fabric of the cap. And so you can understand why some of the physical retailers, especially the big box places, are losing business because they don't any longer carry the variety they used to.
Check out Burlington or Men's Warehouse.
Well, that would have been a choice. They're not in Dearborn, I don't think. But
not sure where. I know, well, they're downriver.
I think there's a Burlington out in the northwest sector, like Farmington Way or...
Well, there's in Southgate.
Novi. Okay, maybe Southgate. Yep. Okay, so go north or south, folks.
Sure.
If you've got the gas for your car. Okay. Save Healthcare Rally is coming up this Michigan. It's going to be a big one. Oh, my goodness. Talk about celebrities. We're going to have, and this is going to be at Macomb Community College. They dropped the county word. They didn't drop community, but right. Macomb Community College, that's 12 Mile Road in Warren. It's going to be at 12:30. That's the start time for this big rally with a lot of big politicians, Senator Bernie Sanders, Senator Chuck Schumer from New York, Senator Debbie Stamenaw and Senator Gary Peters from Michigan, both of them, from our area here, Congressman John Conyers, Congressman Sandy Levin, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell herself, and Congressman Brenda Lawrence, former mayor of Southfield, and Congressman Dan Kildee from the Flint area, along with many citizens from throughout Michigan, and or they're joining with many citizens from throughout Michigan, and they want you to make your voice heard by being part of this rally and get this information. There's rallies all across the United States because, you know, folks, the first step from the Republican Congress in Washington, D.C. has already happened. They did get a bill passed at 1 a.m., actually Thursday morning, after they called a Votorama, just designed to drive people crazy and maybe let them wander away. It was only like one Democrat, and I don't understand, but Dianne Feinstein didn't vote. I don't know if she was sick or something, but didn't matter. Republicans had had the 50 votes needed in the Senate to make sure that nobody filibusters the ending of Obamacare when that comes up. So that's, you might say, the first nail in the coffin for Obamacare, that kind of health care. And in order to save that, we actually have to do, and this is not civil disobedience, folks, it, you just have to go to a rally, to a public gathering, and be seen. And the more numbers of people there and the more information that can be spread and disseminated between the people that attend and the others in our communities, the better. So Save Healthcare Rally, specifically in this area, it's a big one, Macomb County College. Now, they do recommend that you arrive about an hour early. That would be 11:30 a.m. this coming Monday, January 16th, to leave time for parking. They're going to be in an outside parking lot, so hopefully it won't be too cold. I think it's going to get a little warmer. And it's at sort of the south end of the Macomb County College complex. There are several buildings there. And they would like you to register so they know how many people are coming. You can go to Michigan Dems, D-E-M-S, MichiganDems.com, and you'll be able to see information about the Save Healthcare Rally if you wanted to attend. I wanted to mention that that Amy Goodman is going to be in the area. That's right, the host of Democracy Now! She'll be giving a speech along with another woman on Martin Luther King Day at Hill Auditorium in Ann Arbor. Starts at 10 a.m. It's free to the public. It'll go to about 11:30. And so if you want to spend the day in Ann Arbor, it's always great. I've heard Amy Goodman speak live a couple of times. She's a great speaker in person. And the other woman I didn't recognize, she's a young African-American woman who's well-known for a comedy work, although I don't think she's a comedian alone, but she has something like 200,000 followers on some social media. But I guess that's almost nothing these days. But, you know, I don't know. But it should be both entertaining and amusing and informative also about Martin Luther King Jr. and his initiatives directly from Democracy Now!'s founder and host, Amy Goodman, coming to Ann Arbor this Monday starting at 10 a.m. Again, you might want to even get to Hill Auditorium a little before that. But that's a free event, too. Did I say that Save Healthcare Rally is free? It's also free. Okay. But they want you to register in advance if you can for that. I don't know if they'll kick you out if you just show up. But RSVP to MichiganDems.com. There's no advance registration needed for the Amy Goodman Rally. And Hill Auditorium is pretty big. I think 1,500, 1,800 seat. And it's indoors.
Indoors.
So if it's very cold, you might want to go indoors to Ann Arbor. But it... they might fill up because there's all those students who don't go to class in Ann Arbor that day. So if you're a student, you live in the dorms, you're in the area there, right there. So I think you'd want to go over and listen to Amy Goodman, I think. Well, anyway, but everybody's welcome. Okay, real quick, we did promise you an update on the torture and killing of the guinea pig in Gros Isle. And some of you may think that this is a small thing, but I think it's very significant, and it's an awful, awful thing. But the two teenagers that were arrested and for this crime, they pleaded guilty. We told you in December that their actual sentence, the sentencing, would be done in January. Well, now it's happened. This is from Metro Times from this last Wednesday, so it's on their website, but not in the paper this week. The two teenagers, Tanner Coolsayat, 19, Michael Roth, 18, faced a maximum of 4 years in prison. But the judge gave them probation after they pleaded guilty. They have no criminal record, and they will have no criminal record if they complete probation. It's 2 years for whatever the reason, the difference here, for Coolsayat.
Coolsayat,
yeah. Yep. And 3 years for Roth. The judge said that these teenagers are, quote, good students, and, quote, bright with bright futures. Both students told the judge that they plan to attend college this fall. So they got to be good people if they're going to go to college, huh? But they're not in college yet. Why isn't that 19-year-old in college? That's kind of old to be graduated from high school.
Well,
maybe he started later.
We don't know.
Had to go back a grade or something. I don't know. Fake news. Sorry, folks. But remember, when you say, well, why'd I even mention this? Well, of course, they have a stock photo from the internet of a guinea pig, somebody holding a guinea pig, and they're so cute. They are. They're cute and cuddly. They're good pets. They're docile. Yes, they could bite if you treat them wrong, and you know, but they're not basically violent, and they're not harmful to society. They don't carry disease. Well, the teens beat the guinea pig. They had one guinea pig with a bat and slashed it with a knife on Gros Isle Beach before throwing it in the Detroit River. The students said that they were killing it for quote-unquote good luck before a lacrosse game. Boy, anybody that wins a lacrosse game because they did this to a poor, helpless little animal, they better suffer for that somehow. And I don't think it's... I understand maybe the probation without the heavy jail terms.
Right.
In our jails today, too, wouldn't be desirable for maybe young people, first offense. But I think it ought to be on their record.
Well,
and it doesn't say here if it's a misdemeanor or a felony, but it's maximum of 4 years in prison, so that sounds pretty serious.
Yeah.
Like it could have been a felony.
A tort, yeah.
But I think it should be on their record. What do you think, folks? The article, Metro Times, you know, they have their opinions, too, and they allow their writers to have a little opinion kick. And the end of it is, Lee DeVito. He says, the moral to the story about the guinea pigs and the sentencing of the people that tortured and killed the guinea pig is, ... there is no moral to the story. Be nice to animals, kids. So there you go. Had to get that in. That's our update. We always update stories, unlike the commercial media that just tells you the harsh news and never tells you the follow-through. John, you want to do a couple of cultural happy news stories before we wrap up? 3 minutes to Highway 61, the best in the blues with Kitty Love.
Well, a little sports, Jay. We, our Hawks of Henry Ford College, played against Schoolcraft College in a basketball game this past Wednesday. And Schoolcraft, with a 7-3 record, we took them down. We beat them by 3 points. It was a very, very great basketball game. And next home game will be next Wednesday, the 18th, versus St. Clair County Community College. It also, next Thursday, we are holding mascot auditions, Thursday, January 19th, from 11 to 1 at the Student and Culinary Arts Center, M119.
To be inside of a hawk costume.
Hawk costume with a great beak, that's
yes.
for sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot more happening in and around Dearborn, and we hope you'll come back and listen to us again next week, Friday. Hope that you, just because it is a significant, and I think it's the newest holiday that was added to the list, Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday celebration is Monday. If you haven't heard or read anything about him, be sure to maybe tune into WHFR at the very least from noon to 2 o'clock and hear a little bit about, number one, his an overview from Democracy Now! About his life and his accomplishments, and secondly, about his major a tool of social change, and that was nonviolent resistance, and how maybe we should teach it to everybody. And if we did, maybe we wouldn't be beating up so many guinea pigs. I don't know. But well, that's the last bad pun this hour. So
okay.
Thank you, John, for being here today. And hopefully we'll all be back together next Friday. It is auto show week next week. I'm going to be down there, so I'll give my report. Hope to have maybe an auto show a writer, reporter from one of the local automotive magazines on the show too, or the week after if they get busy, because it's a busy week for them, we have to admit. And of course, John, you'll love this. One of the big topics will be autonomous cars.
Autonomous cars,
that's
right.
That's right, yes.
Pick up your edition of Rolling Stone magazine. It is 50th year anniversary of Rolling Stone magazine, and this week there's a great interview with Iggy Pop.
Well, there you go. There's the entertainment news for the day.
There we go.
Local celebrity Iggy Pop.
Yes.
What's the documentary called that was done by Jim Jarmusch on him? Gimme Danger? Kitty loves not responding.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention.
Iggy Pop, he's in a Jim Jarmusch documentary. Is it called Gimme Danger?
I know his daddy was my English teacher, though.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, I think it's going to be shown at the Magic Bag. I just don't have a schedule in front of me, but they're doing a showing of Gimme Danger, the documentary Iggy Pop, which I understand is pretty good. So, anyway, moving right on, Highway 61, it's WHFR Dearborn. Stay tuned for the Best in the Blues with Kitty Love.
The longest highway that I